Good morning, sisters and brothers. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. Have just a few announcements this morning. Maybe this might even be the most important announcement. Did y'all know that Jackson is turning 40? Is it on Tuesday he's turning 40? There is a card back in the fellowship hall that we can sign for him, and I think we all should, and let him know how much we love him and how much we appreciate everything he does for us. So Jackson's 40th coming up this week. The deacons want to revive the Bible study that happens on Saturday mornings before we serve lunch to the guests that come for lunch ministry. And no one's looking for an every Saturday kind of commitment. I think maybe the vision would be for four or five people to hear the Lord knocking on the door of their heart to step into this ministry. And a schedule would be made and materials would be provided along with probably a little bit of training. So if that's something that the Lord is giving you a nudge about, pray about it and see Susan Mathena or Kent Shelton, and we will work on a plan to make sure that that thing starts back up. Let's see here. The youth will meet at church tonight at 5 for a progressive dinner, so come on out and enjoy the first event of the new school year. And there are two inserts in your bulletin. One is this green one, and it's a little questionnaire about the men's breakfast. So if you are a man and doing the Bible study and the breakfast every month is something that's important to you, please fill that out. And also this blue insert is the prayer guide, the daily prayer guide for the PNC. And as a member of that PNC, I can tell you we need your prayers. We need the Lord to be involved in this process. So please pray daily for us. And now, as we listen to the prelude, let's prepare our hearts to worship God. Join me in the responsive call to worship found printed in the bulletin. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to God, and how pleasant it is to sing together the praises of His name. His pleasure is not in the strength of those who wield worldly power. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love.
How good it is to sing praises to God,
Our first hymn is 420, God of Grace and God of Glory. Be seated. Well, it's always appropriate that we bring our confession to the Lord. It's especially appropriate on days that we're receiving communion. So I invite you to pray with me the unison prayer of confession. And then in silence, I might offer another minute or two, moment or two, so that you can think about things, offer to God what lies hidden in your hearts, and ask for whatever forgiveness you need, and maybe you need to forgive somebody. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you have lavished good gifts upon us and upon the world of your making. We confess that we often take for granted the blessings that you provide. We fail to notice the beauty of the created world. We become complacent in our family relationships. We forget to express gratitude to longtime friends. And, O Lord, we fail to share the same love that you have for your covenant people. We often view the church through the same worldly perspective that surrounds us each day. Forgive us for the times that we focus on numbers, power, and influence rather than faith, hope, and love. May your Holy Spirit give us insight and stir our love for what you have made to be. Amen. Amen. Let's receive together the assurance of pardon. To all those who turn from sin and sorrow, to all who turn to God in hope, this is God's word of grace. We are accepted. We are forgiven. We are loved. This gift we have from God, our Heavenly Father. The children can come forward. How you doing? Good. Oh, you're all going to sit away from me. Okay. So, take a look at this. England. That's not England. What does that look like? Antarctica? There's a lot. Heaven. Who said that? That's the right answer. And who is that all around the circle there? Can you see? Yeah, it looks like angels and saints. And what are they looking at? They're looking at earth. That's right. So one of the verses we're going to look at this morning comes, well, two verses from Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's what these guys are. They're a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, this is a great cloud of witnesses. What is a witness? Somebody who's seen something, that's right, or experienced something. And if you go to court and they call a witness, it's somebody who can tell what happened, right? Well, so the Bible says heaven is full of a great cloud of witnesses, and what they're witnessing to is God's faithfulness. And you might even say they're cheering us on so that we can believe in God's faithfulness. Now, there's also a great cloud of witnesses out here. And in some churches, the preacher might say, God is faithful. Can I get a witness? And amen. People in the congregation will say, amen. Yeah, I've seen God be faithful. So we know that there's a great cloud of witnesses in heaven who are telling us that God loves us and is faithful to us. And then when you're part of a church family, there's a great cloud of witnesses out here who have walked with God for a long time, who can say to you in a variety of ways, God is faithful. He loves you. He's not going to leave you hanging. And just like this great cloud of witnesses is cheering for you to know that you can do it with God's help and to make the right decisions, this cloud of witnesses is doing the same thing. They're cheering for you. So as you go in, especially to the start of a new school year, remember that there are folks up in heaven who are watching, praying, rooting for you, and there are people here who are watching and praying and rooting for you. Even when you can't see us, we're there. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the great cloud of witnesses, both in heaven and here among us. And Lord, we thank you that we can cheer for one another and we can testify to your faithfulness and your love. and encourage one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together the unison prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture comes from Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. I will sing a song for the Lord. He is the one I love. It is a song about his vineyard, Israel. The one I loved had a vineyard. It was on a hillside that had rich. He planted the very best vines in it. He built a lookout tower there. He also cut out a wine press for it. Then he kept coming, looking for a crop of good grapes, but the vineyard produced only bad fruit. So the Lord said, people of Jerusalem and Judah, you be the judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard? I did everything I could. I kept looking for a crop of good grapes. So why did it produce only bad ones? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its fence, and the vineyard will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and people will walk all over my vineyard. I will turn my vineyard into a dry and empty desert. It will not be pruned or taken care of. Thorns and bushes will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord who rules over all is the nation of Israel. The people of Judah are the vines he took delight in. He kept looking for them to do what is fair, but all he saw was blood being spilled. He kept looking for them to do what is right, but all he heard were cries of suffering. This is the word of the Lord.
The second scripture lesson for this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us listen for God's word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord. I love singing hymns. It's the best part of Sunday morning worship, and it's funny because I can't sing a bit. The great thing about singing hymns in the congregation is that you don't have to have a great voice. My off-key voice gets mixed in with all the well-pitched voices, and then all together, the result's a beautiful thing. One time in an adult Sunday school class, there was a wise older pastor teaching on the topic of worship. And while explaining the different parts of the worship service, the pastor was trying to give a bigger picture of the meaning of the whole. One skeptical voice wasn't so sure. He thought things should be done differently. So with a tone of sarcasm in his voice, he asked the pastor, "Will there be worship services in heaven?" And the pastor thought about it for a minute and replied, "Just the hymns." Singing is a wonderful and vital part, not just of Sunday morning worship, but of the Christian life. And the scripture reading that we heard from the prophet Isaiah for this morning is a song. The prophet Isaiah describes it as a love song from God to his people, Israel. There's both joy and there is anguish in this love song. There's the joy of God, the loving goodness of God who wants the best for his people. The song describes God as the divine gardener, the creator of the vineyard. God has planted, cultivated, and tended the garden vineyard, which is his people, Israel. This song is an expression of the creativity and the love that God has known for the covenant people, the special people that God has chosen to make known his love to all people. And yet at the very same time, this song is also full of anguish and heartache. It's the kind of love song in which the singer's love goes without being returned. It is a song of unrequited love. The people of the vineyard didn't pay attention to the vineyard keeper. They ignored the love and the goodness that had been showered upon them. They did not sing. They did not join in the song. They were distracted with many things. And so sadly, mournfully, finally, the vineyard keeper let the garden go. The vineyard went back to the wild and produced only bad grapes or sour grapes. What could have been a wonderful and beautiful vineyard and the source for joy and singing returned to the weeds. And that's the picture that the prophet Isaiah was painting for us in the fifth chapter. There's a fascinating old gospel style of singing called sacred harp, and it had been almost lost. But in the last couple decades, it's been rediscovered. And in sacred harp music, there's no accompaniment. There's no pianos or organs, no guitars or brass, just voices. It's full voice singing in all of the songs. Songs like Amazing Grace, Shall We Gather at the River, Angel Band, or Wondrous Love. Singers sit facing each other, leaving a hollow square in the middle of the people. And then each participant is allowed to lead a song from the middle and directs the counting of the music by the up and down movement of one's arm. It's not music sung in Sunday morning worship. Usually it's on Saturdays, and it goes on all day long, sometimes 8 hours, with the only break being the big potluck supper in the middle of the day. I heard a story about the Sacred Harp recently on the radio, and I had to stop and listen to the story of one of the college students from New England who drove hundreds of miles to take part in the singing gatherings. Now, he had not grown up with any church background at all. He had been fairly agnostic his whole life. But it was amidst this singing that he had begun to feel that he was not alone in the universe. There's something about the music that can direct our attention beyond ourselves and our immediate concerns to the presence of God. The song in the image of God as the vineyard keeper from the fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah became a very important and often repeated metaphor in the history of the covenant people. And it was so important that Jesus called upon it one day. He was teaching the people in the Jerusalem temple, and he brought up the metaphor of the vineyard from Isaiah's love song. All of the crowd around him that day would have been familiar with Isaiah's song about the vineyard keeper. But Jesus developed this metaphor in a new way to describe what God was doing in his day and time. Jesus was in the same Jerusalem temple that was the old stomping grounds of the prophet Isaiah, but it was 700 years later. And the parable that Jesus told about the vineyard is an allegory, which means that each of the characters of the parable stands for a person or a group in real life. The vineyard owner is God. The tenants of the vineyard represent the chief priests and the Pharisees. The vineyard owner's slaves represent the prophets of Israel. The son of the vineyard owner is Jesus himself. And the other tenants at the end of the story represent the Gentiles. So the vineyard keeper leases his beautiful plush vineyard to the tenants. They did not own the vineyard. It did not belong to them. They were merely stewards of it. But instead of being good stewards, they wanted it for their own. They wanted to possess it for themselves. And so the vineyard owner sent his slaves to collect the fruits of the vineyard, but the tenants turned to violence and beat and killed the slaves. Finally, the vineyard keeper sent his only son. But instead of working together with the keeper, instead of caring for the vineyard, the tenants turned to bloodshed once again and killed the son. It was then, in the telling of Jesus' story, that the religious authorities realized that he was talking about them. They were the wicked tenants. They were the ones using the vineyard for their own gain. They had killed the prophets. They were turning aside Jesus. Now, let me say, please note that this parable is not pointed at the Jewish people. Who it's pointed at is the religious leadership of Jesus' day. And I have to confess, as the one wearing the long black robe up here this morning, it gives me pause. It's humbling to see how Jesus challenged those who were entrusted with the keys of religious leadership. The religious leaders were afraid. They were scrambling to protect their own status. And when you're afraid, and when you spend all your time trying to keep power over others, there is no time to sing. But it was precisely the moment for singing and rejoicing. God's son was in the temple, showing forth the love and the favor of God. But sadly, they would not sing. I would suggest to you today that this image of the vineyard keeper still has an important place for Christians. We remember the metaphor of the vineyard as a metaphor for the church. God has given us a beautiful garden. He has planted it, dug a wine press in it, built a watchtower over it, and created a wonderful vineyard. It is a gift from God. We are merely the stewards of the vineyard, charged with caring for it, tending to it, and showing the same love for it as the vineyard keeper. In this changing time, when the church occupies a different place in our culture than it used to, a place not so much at the center of the culture anymore, It is easy for us, it is tempting for us, to be too anxious to sing a joyful song. There are many pressing issues upon each person's life, and in a changing day, there are natural anxieties about how the church will make its way forward. It's not unlike Isaiah's day. It's very similar. And it's not like Isaiah's prioritizing of a joyful, loving, singing relationship with our Heavenly Father. As we gather as God's people once again today, hear that song that comes from God to you. Let us quiet our souls and hear this music once again so that we may join in it. It reminds me of the words from the poet Anna Warner, which were utilized for a church hymn. My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the sweet, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and all the strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? Finally, the epistle reading that's matched in the lectionary with this passage from Isaiah, which was so wonderfully described to the kids by Joyce this morning. This gives us more insight for being modern stewards of the church family, of the vineyard. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews encouraged his early Christian community to recall and to remember the people of faith that had gone on to the kingdom before them. He wanted them to remember the lives of the saints as a source of motivation for living the Christian life today. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, remember these saints and their lives that might give us wisdom for living today. The writer clearly thinks that we are much nearer to these beloved saints than our modern day assumptions might think. The veil between this world and the next is much thinner than we often presume. Remembering that we are connected through the Holy Spirit to the communion of the saints helps to quiet our own anxieties. In our changing day and time, we remain tied to them who live the faith in their own changing day and time. Can you see them? Can you remember them and see their faces? Remember their names? What are their memories telling you today? Thankfully, the Christian life is never lived alone. God has given us brothers and sisters of faith in order that we might bear witness to the kingdom together. God has given us a beautiful garden. He has planted it, dug a wine press in it, built a watchtower over it, and given a wonderful vineyard. It is a gift from God. May the Holy Spirit inspire and lead us so that we never leave His great love unrequited. May the God of Jesus Christ grant us joy that comes through faith to keep singing the song of His steadfast love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand together as we confess the faith of the church, saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge went from the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, Holy Catholic Church, communion of sins, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 507, I Come with Joy. Please be seated. God meets us in this sacrament, communicating grace to us by means of bread and cup. God reminds us and assures us of our union with Christ in covenant love through the forgiveness of the cross, the comfort of Christ's continuing presence with us, and the hope of his return. The meal has been prepared for each of us so that with joy we may commune together, united with all who are present, all who trust in him, and the communion of saints that transcends the boundaries of heaven and earth. All who trust in Jesus Christ are welcome to share in this meal. Friends, let us come with faith, trusting these great promises, and let us be filled and nourished for living the Christian life. Let us pray. Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right, it is our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise and to worship you in every place where your glory abides. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent your only begotten, in whom your fullness dwells, to be for us the way, the truth, and the life. Revealing your love, Jesus taught those who would hear him, healed those who believed in him, received all who sought him, and lifted the burden of their sin. We glorify you for your great power and love at work in Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new people by water and spirit. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this cup from the gifts that you have given us. So pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. Now we join together in the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it. Giving it to his disciples, he said, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Each time you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me. For each time we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim our Lord's saving death until he comes.
Thank you. Let us pray.
Loving God, you graciously feed us when we have received these holy mysteries as the bread of life and the cup of salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened for your service. We who have sung your praises, tell of your glory and truth. We who have heard of your great love, see you face to face in the kingdom. For you have made us your own people through the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now with gladness, let us bring the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord. Let us pray. God of wonder, we offer you these humble gifts, signs of your goodness and mercy. Receive them with our gratitude, that through us all people may know the riches of your love in Christ our Lord. Amen. Please note the final hymn is number 393, Take Up Thy Cross. Friends, as you go into this new week, go trusting Christ, who goes before you to prepare the way for you. And he goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith. He goes beside you to befriend you and to accompany you along life's way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.